We all love stories, don't we? We love watching movies. How many of you love watching movies? Yeah. We also like reading books for the same reason, right? How many of you like reading books? Okay, not as many, but yes, we do. Our children get this too, and that's why they love watching that God-blessed movie called Frozen over and over and over and sing that song, Let It Go and Let It Go. And I'm thinking in my head, please let that song go, right? Because my daughters have sung it 10 million times. But they get it because they love movies and they love stories behind those movies. But did you know that you and I are in a story? You and I are in God's grand story. And just like any good story, there's a beginning, there's crisis, there's a build-up, there's climax, and then there's resolution. And the outline for this divine story that all of us are in goes creation, the fall, redemption, and restoration. So I want to tell you this divine story of how we begin and how it's going to end. Creation. The story begins with a perfect world. Adam and Eve, perfectly young, perfectly healthy, and perfectly happy. And they enjoy this intimate, joyful relationship with God. And not only that, they also enjoyed intimate, loving, peaceful, joyful relationship with one another. So it was a perfect environment to raise a family. In Genesis 1:31, the Bible says, "And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good." And you know, folks, parents, even work was pleasant, the Bible says. They looked forward to Monday mornings because they liked working so much, because the land produced so plentifully with a little bit of work. Genesis 1:28, "God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over everything that moves on the earth.'" And so Adam and Eve, this perfect man and perfect woman, were put in charge of the earth. And earth was producing fruits after fruits, and it only required a little bit of work, which was not a chore, but it was pleasure. So everything was perfect in the beginning. However, something happened that shattered that perfect world that God created. You and I do not live in a perfect world, do we? We don't. All we got to do is look at the front page news, and we know that we are not living in a perfect world. What's going on in California? They can't even water the lawn anymore. They can't wash cars because there's this drought that is happening. We do not live in a perfect world anymore. What happened? Man rebelled against God. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And because they represent the best of us, we also rebel against God. You see, God only had one stipulation, one rule, one simple rule for them to keep. And that was not to eat from this one particular tree. A tree called the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat from 10,000 other trees in that beautiful garden, but just one tree, they said, do not eat from it. However, man thought that he knew better than God, that he decided not to listen to God. Really, God gave it so that people could put their trust in him and put their trust in him, saying that God will give them what is best. However, man thought, you know, I think I'm smarter than God. I think I know better than God. And so I'm going to eat from it, even though God said not to eat from it. They had all the other trees to eat from, but they had to touch that one. They ate from it. Isn't it just like our children? They do the exact thing that we tell them not to do. Right? Don't go there. Don't open that door. And what do we find them doing? Opening that door, going there. And just like that, man rebelled against God. And because of sin, what the Bible calls sin, man fell. And that is the fall. And all the ugly things that we don't want, cancer, disease, poverty, homelessness, death, racism, unemployment came because of the fall. It's like in the movie Beauty and the Beast. How many of you watched Beauty and the Beast? Okay, even the little ones. I'm surprised because that's actually a dated movie. If you're a young adult and you think, oh yeah, I remember that movie, a lot of the little kids would not know what that movie is. However, and that tells you how old you are, right? Anyway, if you remember, in the movie, there was this handsome prince. And when he fell under a spell because he was rude and he didn't do right, not only did he fall into being a monster, not only did he turn into a beast, but if you remember, everything else in his castle turned bad as well. Do you remember that? All the tables and all the castle just turned into this horrendous thing. And even the servants, what do they become? They become things like broomstick, right? A clock or a candlestick. They became less than who they were. And that is a result of sin. And that's exactly what happened to this world. This world was supposed to be so much more beautiful than this, but because man has sinned, it became the world that it is. And that's why there is that drought. And that's why there is that heat wave. And that's why there is disaster, tsunamis, and all these things, because of our sin. But the real result of sin is that we have lost that wonderful intimate relationship with God himself. You see? We were supposed to be with God in the garden, living this perfect family relationship. But because we have rebelled against God, that family relationship with God was broken. And because of that, from that point on, we've been longing for home. We've been longing for our paradise. And that's why wherever you go, you want to create a family. You want to create this a perfect environment. And that's why we love our children. Because if we did not grow up in a good home, we want to make sure that our children grow up in a good home. And that's why we want to provide for them. And that's why you brought them here, so that they can experience this cultural phenomenon called the Easter egg hunt, right? We have this longing for home, and so we try everything we know how to create this beautiful, perfect home, but we are just unable. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you, children, okay, kids are here, how many of you grew up in a perfect family? Your family is perfect, there's nothing wrong with your family whatsoever. All right, look at all these liars, right? Okay, I'm a little bit disturbed that my kids haven't raised their hands. But I see the Gentry's kid raise her hand, so that's good. Anyway, we fall short. We want to create this home, but we can't. Why? It's because of what's called sin. Because of greed that is in us. Because of lust that is in us. Because of the hatred that we have for the people that we do not know. Or the judgmentality that we have for the people that are slightly different than us. You walked in this morning, and didn't you think, whoa, that's weird. These people, oh, she's at church, he's at church, right? That's in us, in all of us. And nothing quite works, and we're unable to bring us home, bring ourselves home. We need a rescuer, we need a savior. And that's where the third part of the story, redemption, comes in. You see, God could have left us alone. God could have just let us drown in the sea of sin. But he decided that, you know, I love them too much, and I'm not going to let them drown. I'm going to rescue them. And the way he did that was by sending his only son, the perfect son, the son of God, who is God, Jesus Christ, to come and not only give us an example to follow, but he became our substitute. At our church, we emphasize it a lot. Jesus is not simply our example to follow. Jesus did not die on the cross saying to us, see, I am dying for the world, and so I want you to do good for the world, just like I am doing. That's not what he's doing, folks. When he died on the cross, what he was doing was, your sin and my sin, your lust, my greed, all of our sins have been put on him, and our sins have died on the cross with him. So in other words, at our church, we like saying, Jesus died the death that you and I deserved. He died the death that you and I deserved in our place. His substitute died for us. And then all of us who would put our faith in him, put our trust in him, who would receive him, the Bible says, as many as those who received him, to those who believed in his name, to them he gave them the right to become children of God. Can I ask you something? Are all human beings children of God? Does the Bible say all human beings are children of God? Because God made them, right? So we are all children. No. Bible doesn't say that. Not everyone, not every human being is a child of God. Just because I built a chair does not mean that, oh, that chair is my child. I created it. Is it my child? No. The only ones that are my children are the ones who are born by my wife or the ones that I have adopted. God only had one son, Jesus Christ. The rest, if they are to become his children, they have to be adopted into the family. How do they get adopted into the family? By believing in his true and only son, Jesus Christ. That's why we receive him. Receive him as our Savior and Lord. And when we do that, then the Bible says that he gives us the right to become children of God because of what he did for us and not because of what we do for him. You see, Jesus is not just the Savior of our souls. He's also the Savior of the world. Did you know that as we speak right now, people all over the world, such as South Korea, where I come from, or China, where some of us come from, Africa, South America, millions and millions of people are coming to know this Christ and they're receiving it as their Savior and Lord and becoming children of God. And that's what our church represents. People from all over the place worshiping God because we are the children of God, which makes us brothers and sisters. You see, the sister that translated today, Linda, she's not a translator that we have hired so that, you know, our Hispanic community can understand. No, she's a sister of ours, right? She's a church member, a longtime church member here. She takes her whole family here, and her kids came up here and performed. We're family. Why? Because we have the same Father. How? Because we believe in the same Son of God, in Jesus Christ. That's the redemption. But there is a restoration, the last leg of it. Revelation 21:3 says this, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." It's a restoration process. God's going to put back everything that had been lost by our sin. Do you remember again in the movie Beauty and the Beast, when the beast finally confesses his love for Belle and he dies? What happens? Not only does he change into being a handsome prince again, but what happens to his castle? What happens to his servants? They all transform back magically, don't they? But he did not only go back to the original state. He's actually in a better state than the original state. Do you know why? Because he gained the love of his life, didn't he not? Right? He gained Belle. He gained beauty as his love. Just like that. When you and I confess our sins and go to God who died for us, not only do we become children, not only do we get restored, but this world also gets restored. Did you know that the Bible says that heaven is going to come and join earth? It's not that we're going to go to heaven, but heaven is going to come to earth, and we are going to be in heaven in that way for those of us who are the children of God. And that is the restoration process, that we are going to be restored back. But not only that, we gain the love of Christ, who died for us, the brother, our lover, who sacrificed himself for us. And what will this renewed heaven and earth look like? And I end with that. Imagine the most beautiful thing. Imagine the most excellent thing that you can think about, the happiest place on earth, okay? Even better than Disneyland, all right? Because I know that's what you're all thinking. Think about this place. Or think about a person that you love so much. Maybe your children this afternoon who will be so hyper on sugar, right? And you're happy for them. Think about that. The Bible says that renewed earth, the restored earth and heaven will be even better than that. Even better than your imagination. It's so great that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has ever conceived the great things that God has in store for us. That's what God promises us. All we have to do is to receive him after repenting of our sins. then we become children of God. Here at S1, we preach that Jesus every week in different ways. Want to hear more? Want to grow with us? Want to have your children hear more about that? Please come back next week. Okay? Let's pray.